remember our sermon, our series on James. It's been before Thanksgiving, all right? So I have a few that I want to finish up with you over the next probably 3 to 4 weeks maybe, depending how things flow out. But we'll finish up chapter 4, so you can turn to me with me in your Bible to James chapter 4 this morning. 13 through 17, we'll finish up James 4, and we just have one chapter left in the book of James, and we're going to move into a new series here in a couple weeks, which I'll introduce to you here possibly next week as well. But for now, I want to finish up James here in the next few weeks. And so this morning, the message is entitled, Boasting About Tomorrow. But what I want you to think about also is in the context of that, what is God's will for your life? What does that look like? How do we seek that? How do we find that? And so also notice on the screen that it says part one. And so next week you'll get part two because the message is just way too big and there's too much going on in this passage. So I had to put it into two sermons. And so if you hopefully can make next week as well, listen to part two. We'll get more in the bolts of how do we find God's will for our lives. But today I want to talk about what Scripture says about boasting and how we live today and what that should look like in God's eyes. Follow along with me. We're going to start in the book of Proverbs. Put your thumb in James. Flip to the book of Proverbs for me. And I don't even have that on the screen, do I? That's my fault. I should have had that on there. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. All right, I want to start there this morning. I want to tie the old and the new together here just a little bit with you. About page 1026 or so. It says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. All right? How true is that? You do not know what a day will bring. And now flip to the book of James, chapter 4. Verse 13. It's entitled, Boasting About Tomorrow. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. The reading of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your spoken word this morning, which you read from your scripture. May you bring that word to life through your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for those that are listening today. Lord, may you open their hearts, their minds, and their spirits just to receive your teaching and your word. Lord, may you resonate with them today. May you stir up something in them today that is new for them. Lord, may these words be your words and never mine. I pray that, Lord, you fill me with that same spirit as I bring this message to your people. In Jesus I pray, amen. I've got a story for you this morning about a farmer. And this is not a story about me. This is a story that I came across here this past week. And I want to share this with you. So there's this farmer who wanted to be a preacher. But he wasn't sure about God's will for his life. And so one day he's out in the field. He's getting ground ready to go to plant. And he decides that he's going to take a break for a few minutes. And so he sees this tree in the pasture, and he stops his tractor, he gets out, and he goes, sits underneath this tree, and he has lunch out there. And as he's having lunch, he looks up in the sky, and he sees PC, excuse me, in the clouds. And he thinks for a while, what does that mean? And he gets this vision that he thinks is from God. And Mark, thanks for getting me some water. Appreciate that. I'm going to need some. He gets this vision from God, he thinks, that it says, preach Christ. And so he goes home and he tells his wife, and they sell all the machinery and they sell the farm, and he goes to seminary, and he's in a church home, and he's preaching away in his own community, and one of the neighbors is sitting next to his wife in church, and he reaches over, and this neighbor knew his story, and he says to his wife, they figured out that he wasn't a very good preacher, and he says to his wife, you know, I think what God was trying to tell him that day was plant corn. Right? So, So let me ask you this question this morning. How true is that in your life when you're trying to figure out what is God's will for my life? Because you search, you don't understand it, it's difficult, it's hard. But let me just reiterate to you this morning that when God lays something out there for you, it's not difficult, it's not hard. What the challenge is going to be is that, will you do it? That's the challenge. Because in your heart, you know, right, God tugs on you. You kind of got this idea, he's leading you in a certain way, and you might not care for it, you might not like it, because there's uncertainty, you're not sure how it's going to go. And so for most Christians, instead of preaching Christ, maybe we should be planting corn, but those things that God calls us to in our lives. And I'm going to take a sip of water so I can keep preaching to you. So let me say this, God never hides his will from you and I. Never hides it from you and I. It's always there. And so, like I said, next week we're going to discover how to find it in our lives. But I want to talk about today in this area here. And so there's a challenge in trying not only to find it, but to do it. And that's where your hardest thing is going to come in. Now, let me talk to you about Jesus Christ here this morning. For Jesus, in his life, his number one goal was to do the will of the Father, God's will. That's why he came to earth. That's why what he came to do, we know that. Al talked about that. He went to the cross for our sins. That's his number one goal, but to do the will of the Father. Now, let me share just a few instances with you about that this morning. When his disciples returned with him one afternoon, he had been speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well. Remember that story? And they said to Jesus, "You've been out all day, you've been talking with people, you haven't had much rest or anything to eat. Take some time, sit down and have a meal together with us." And Jesus said this to them, which I think must have just like blown them away. He said this, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." That's what he said to them. Now, if you were a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, you must have thought, what is he talking about? And they didn't fully understand that yet, a lot like you and I are in life. We don't always understand God's will, but maybe, or the ability to do it. But then I want you to think about this verse as well. Sometime after that, Jesus healed a lame man at the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem. And he reiterated God's desire, his will to do God's will again. And he said this, in which I have on the screen in John 5, verse 30. "I can do nothing on my own," is what he said. All right? Remember that verse as we go through this message this morning. "I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me," is what he said once again to those who were following him. Now, it's no surprise that we get back to the book of James that he continues to lay out a number of tests for his followers. Remember the community he's speaking to, the Jewish community in the time, and he speaks to us as well today. And the focus is on this set of verses, the importance of doing God's will in our lives. That's what he's trying to get across to you and I this morning. If you and I want to be like Jesus, what's important to the people and his audience and to you and I is responding to God's will. If you're truly going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to have the desire to follow God's will in your life. So what does your love look like? What do your desires look like in your life? Are you pursuing Christ and what he has set out for you in your life? And so let me just share with you this morning, there are three different ways that you and I can respond to that question of what that's like in our lives. All right? How are we going to respond to God's will? And they're easy to remember, and we'll go through them one by one here this morning. And you will choose one of these three ways. And you might come and go from some of them over your lifetime, but you're going to choose one of these three ways, and I hope that you choose the latter of the three. Two of these that I'm going to share with you this morning are tied to sin, right? And so you're going to learn that as well this morning, some things for your life that you maybe didn't realize before. Here's the first one that I want to share with you this morning. We can deny God's will for our lives. We can say, nope, I don't want nothing to do with that in my life. And you can do your own thing. And if you have your Bible open with you, and I have it on the screen as well, verse 13 exactly is what's going on in that verse. And here's what it says. There's a group of people. They're having this discussion. Maybe it's over a meal, whatever it might be. And they say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there, and we'll trade and we'll make a profit. All right? Now, there is nothing wrong with what they're talking about there, but I want you to notice that in there, there's the word say that's in there, or to do, to say. All right? Now, what this indicates is, as you look at that verse, is that this is a normal habit for them. This is how they live life from day to day. Now, like I said, there's nothing wrong with going to make a living, going to make money. God wants us to do that. God wants us to be people of order. He wants us to make a profit so we can provide for our families. But there's one thing that's missing here, and you know it very well. It's in the blue box. There's no mention of God anywhere. What does God want for me? What does God want us to do? If we're going to these cities, what does he want us to sell? Where does he want us to stay? How long does he want us to stay there? Who should we be involved with? You know, those are all things that they could be asking God of. They know what his will is, but yet they're not including him in it. And they go on their own. The Bible commends hard work. And it makes it clear that humanity is to profit from their labor. But God's missing in all of that in this verse. And so they denied God's will for their lives. All right? Now, here's where the sin comes in. The sin is the sin of presumption. And it's on the bottom of your screen this morning in the gray box. It's an arrogant display of pride. And more or less what they're saying is God, we don't need you. We've got this figured out. We can make a living for ourselves. We know how to make money. We know how to conduct business. We know what we should do, where we should do it, and when we should do it. And we don't need you because we're that good. All right? What biblical term do we use this morning to describe a person like that? It's right in the sermon title. You become what when you're like that? Boastful. And boasting under your own power becomes a sin in your life when you don't include God. And that's where you have to be careful. So we need to evaluate ourselves, don't we? We need to be honest with God and our faith and the way that we live life and the things that we do in life. Because you and I are to include God in all things. That can be hard to do, isn't it? Because we are so good at compartmentalizing. You know, we bring God into church, we bring God into Sunday, but do we bring God into our workplace? Do we bring God into our family situation? Do we bring God into our entertainment? Do we bring God into our families? What does that look like for you and I? God wants us to pull him in, and he wants to be first in our lives as we plan and do things from day to day. So you can deny it. That's the first one I share with you. Here's the second one this morning. You can defy God's plan or will for your life. That's the situation in verses 16 and 17. You boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. All right, boasting in our accomplishments, it's evil and sinful. You get that. You understand that. I told you that. While these people have not denied God for their will, they get it. They know that God's will is there, but they simply won't do it. Have you ever done that in your life? Where you know what God wants you to do, but you say, no, I don't want to do that, God. It's not who I am. I'm not prepared for that. I don't have the gifts to do what you call me to do. There's no way that you can call me to speak to somebody about that because I don't know, I don't have the words. I'm not good at those types of things in my life, whatever they might be. Be careful of that. Be careful that we give God the credit for what we have done through our lives. That we don't defy God with defying his will for our lives, and you simply just push away and push back on that. The moment you boast in your own abilities and how good you are without giving God credit, you've just denied God in your life. Now let me talk about the second sin, and this is a difficult sin, and we find it in verse 17. It says this, "If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." That's a pretty harsh verse if you think about it, right? This refers to what many call the sins of omissions. Often, I'm going to tell you this, this is kind of hard to grasp onto. This is a type of sin that you might not even recognize that you commit. You might not even know you're doing it in your life. The sin of omission. This verse says that we can sin by failing to do good when you have the opportunity to do it and you choose not to. Do you ever find yourself in that situation in life? Right? He's pointing that out to us in our lives. He's consistently pointed out that sin is not merely a matter of doing something we are commanded to do, but also it can involve something that we should do, and you and I just say no to those things. That's when you and I commit the sin of omission. And you know what? I think a lot of us commit the sin of omission way more than we realize, and it's probably one of the most popular sins that you and I become involved with or happens to because of the way that we live our lives as a believer in Jesus Christ. You'll fall into this sin way more than you'll fall into the sin of murdering somebody or stealing something or blaspheming somebody. This sin of omission will creep in on you because simply you don't want to go where maybe God's calling you to go or to do what God's calling you to do in your life. And you meet that with resistance. And then James goes even deeper yet. He points out that there are some who affirm that there is a God. They acknowledge that he's the sovereign Lord and that his will for their lives, and yet they choose to disobey. Be careful of those situations in your life when those come up. How many of you know somebody that's arrogant? Don't keep your hands down this morning, right? Somebody that's boastful. They think they got it all figured out. And maybe you found yourself in that place one day, and by God's grace, you recognize it in your life, and you realize that that's not how God wants us to live. But you see people that live in that lifestyle, and your heart cringes for them, doesn't it? Because in a second, it can be all wiped out. Can be gone. I think I talked about that in a sermon not too long ago. When we boast in our own power, when we're arrogant, like they describe in verse 16 and 17. And when we do that, we exalt ourselves above God. It becomes the idol. You do. That's sinful, is what the Bible teaches us here this morning. And here's the word of warning that I want to share with you this morning in verse 14. When we deny or we defy God's will in our lives, this is what it says. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. It's gone. Right? James says, you need to realize that your life, it's fragile. God can demand it of you at any time. It can be gone. Think about the parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. You know the story well, but let me just highlight it for you this morning. Remember that this guy was so blessed, and he decided that he's going to tear down his old grain bins. He's going to build bigger ones because he's been so blessed, and he doesn't want to share it with anybody. And then the parable goes on to say this, "You fool! This night your soul is required of you, and all the things that you've done, all the things that you've worked hard for, all the things you've prepared, all the blessings that you think you have, they're going to be gone tonight. And then what? Who gets them?" Right? So it is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So are you rich towards God? doing his will provides wealth and richness towards God. Be generous towards God is what it's saying. Now, here's what I want you to think about. This is how I want you to live this next slide here. There is a better way that you and I are supposed to live. One that we find in verse 15, instead of denying or defying God's will, you desire it. You want it, right? How many of you want God's will in your life this morning? You want to do that, right? All of us do. We all want to be there where God calls us to and to be in that sweet spot of life that we have peace. Not that everything's perfect. And that's verse 15. It says, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. We will do what God calls us to do, no matter what that might be in our lives. You know, you look at verse 15, I think a lot of us will, you know, we're in conversation and we use it flippantly. We'll say, you know, I'll see you on Sunday, or I'll see you next week Wednesday, the what? Willing, the Lord willing, right? That's exactly what that verse is getting at here. But what James is saying is, do not take that flippantly in your walk with Jesus Christ. He says, take it seriously. Do it, right? If God calls us to something, go do it. The Lord willing, seek it, pray for it, ask him to reveal it, follow it, pursue it with all your heart. Because it's not just enough to say, well, the Lord willing, I hope to see you Wednesday. James wants us to be more serious in our faith with that. We need to have that genuine desire to both know and to be obedient to God in our lives. You know, I didn't get to it this week, but the Heidelberg Catechism, there is a question and answer about God's providential care for our lives, that everything is in his hand. Not one thing is outside of that. The things that you will go through in this life. Not one thing's outside of that. Ever. Remember that. You know, we sang that song this morning, God of All My Days. And I talked to you about the seasons that you and I will go through in life. And there are hard seasons that you and I will find ourselves in the midst of, that we're moving in and out of those seasons in our walk with Christ. But God is sovereign. He's over all. Everything that goes on. So let me encourage you. And I think what James is trying to get at, I want you to think about your secular life. I want you to think about your spiritual life. Those two lives need to overlap in many ways. They're not separate. They're one. So I want you to think about your business life, your family life, your school life, and your church life. Because they all flow together. That's how God's will works. It's all one. And if you can start to see that in your life, that God's over everything, and he's in everything that I do in my daily life and my weekly life, that he's there with me, that he walks with me, you'll begin to see that. God wants us to desire and obey his will in every area of our lives. So how do I know God's will for my life? How do I know that? That's a very good question. How do I know that if PC means preach Christ or plant corn? Right? That's next week's message. That's what I'm going to bring up to you. I'm going to talk to you about, how do I find God's will for my life? How do I seek that? What does it look like? I want you to be aware of that. So you got to come back next week and listen to the second part of this message. So am I going to plant corn, or am I going to preach Christ? What's that look like in your life this morning? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,